So tonight's daf is daf Gimel. So we got to the bottom of daf Gimel Amud Aleph, four lines down. The Gemara asks, "Maishna linin riya de ptire maishna linin simcha de mechayve." Why did we say earlier, yesterday's daf, that a individual who's medaber veino shemeir or shemeir veino medaber, he was either able to hear or speak. So we said he's pater from riya, but he's chayiv in simcha. What's the difference? So the Gemara says it's based on psukim. The Gemara explains, Linin Riyah, with respect to Riyah, why the Medaber Ein Shemeir, or the Shemeir Ein Medaber, is Pater, is because Gamar Riyah, Riyah Mehakel. It says the word Riyah in the context of Alila Regel, and it says Riyah in the context of Hakel. The Mitzvah of Hakel, we know, happened every 7 years, on the eighth year, really the first year, whichever one, the year after the Shemitah year. The Pasuk calls it the eighth year. On Sukkot, the first day, Chol Moed Sukkot, the king would go up on the Spima, they'd build the Spima, and he'd recite from the different sections of the Sefer Torah, and that was called the Mitzvah of Hakel. So it says the word Re'iyah with regards to Hakel. Okay, so we have a Gzer Shava between Hakel and Re'iyah. So then it says, B'Hakel Dichsiv, it says, V'Hakel Ha'am Ha'anashim V'Anashim V'Ataf, that you're supposed to gather together the nation, including the men, the women, and the children. Uksiv, and it also says, B'Ba Kol Yisrael Liros, and when all of Yisrael comes to see the entire Hakel, so that's the word Re'iyah that says by Hakel. And it also says, Riyah, we already seen before, with regards to Aliyah the Rego. So that's the Gzer Shavu. So now we have a connection between the two. So then the Gemara says, V'holsam minolan. How do we know, with regards to Hakel, that a Cheresh, Ein Medaber, or Ein Shemei, one or the other, how do you know he's Pater from Hakel, minolan? Because the Pasuk says, with regards to Hakel, it says, Liman Yilmadu, in order that he should, rather, Liman Yishmu, Liman Yilmadu, that he should listen and he should hear, really listen and learn, rather. So what does this mean? Tanya Laman Yishmu Prat Lemedaber Veino Shemeir. Laman Yishmu means a person who is able to hear, to the exclusion of a person who could only speak but cannot hear, so he would be pater from the mitzvah of Hakel. And the words Laman Yilmadu, a person who can learn, Prat Lishemeir Veino Medaber. So who's a person who can't learn? So only a person who can learn, but who can't learn? A person who can hear but can't speak, he can't learn. So Gemara is going to explain that last point in just a moment, but we're learning right now from Hakel that from the words Laman Yishmu, a person who can't hear is Pater, and from Laman Yilmadu, a person who can't speak is Pater. So just like by Hakel, Shemei Vein Medaber, or Medaber Vein Shemei is Pater from Hakel, so too through the Gzer Shava, Re'iyah, such an individual would be Pater from Re'iyah as well. So the Gemara is saying this very last line we just said, Laman Yilmadu, a person comes to Hakel to learn, so that's excluding a person who could hear but can't speak. So why? The Maimer is to suggest Techilo Mishtai. Mishtai means to speak. Not the word Shemeh means to listen, but Mishtai means to learn. So a person who can't teach, Techilo Mishtai, when a person can't teach, Lo Gamar, if a person's not able to speak, that means he's not learned. Of course, a person, if he can't speak, he could still listen. He could still listen to things and understand things. So why are we saying the words La Man Yilmadu? Because it's excluding a person who can't speak. Nothing to do with each other. V'ha hanu trei ilmi. There are two ilmi, two ilames, two people who are mute. V'havu bishvavuse de Rebbe b'nei barte de Rebbe Yochanan ben Gudgada. He was in the neighborhood of Rebbe, who is the grandson of Rebbe Yochanan. Amri la, others say b'nei achte de Rebbe Yochanan, or maybe the nephew of Rebbe Yochanan. So what about these two ilames? So the chol emas de havu ayel Rebbe lebe mejasha. Whenever Rebbe would come into the Beis Medrash, havu ayel of yasi come out. They'd sit in front of Rebbe. And when they do this in Menaidu Bereshai, they nod the heads as if they're paying attention. U'mecharshin svasasayu, and then they move the lips around as if they're paying attention. U'bai Rebbe Rachmei Elayu, and after many years, Rebbe davened that they should be able to speak. V'tase, and they became healed, and they're able to speak. V'shtakech dehavu gemirei hilchasa safra sifre v'kula hashas. And it turns out that they knew all these things out of Balpeh, or very well. All these areas, halacha they knew medrash, they knew all shas. So even though they weren't able to speak, since they were able to hear, so then they were learning. So how come above the Gemara says, Laman Yilmadu, says who's a person who can't learn, a person who can't speak? That's not true. Just because you can't speak doesn't mean you can't learn. So the Gemara says, fine, you know what? The drasha is above. Amar Marzutra, Kari Bey, Laman Yilamedu. You should really read it, even though the Pasuk isn't pronounced that way, Laman Yilamedu, that he can't teach. So what we learn from the Pasuk and Hakel, the way we're trying to understand it is now, why does everybody gather together? Laman Yishmu, so they could hear, so only people who could hear are Chayiv. And Laman Yilamedu, so people could come teach from what they heard. So only person who could teach and speak, as opposed to an Elaim, a person who is Shemeya Veinu Medaber. So this is the conclusion, according to this first Mandamer, why a Shemeya Veinu Medaber and a Medaber Veinu Shemeya are Pater from Hakel, and through the Gzer Shaver, they're also Pater from the Mitzvah of Re'ir. That people who cannot teach are Pater from the Mitzvah of Hakel.
Because it has nothing to do with learning?
It has to do with teaching. So people who can't teach, and the Elaim, since they're not able to teach, they're Pater.
What are you teaching for?
That's the drasha, they're making the drasha. Since it says Leman Yilmadu, they're making a drasha, it should really be understood as Leman Yilmadu. It's a drasha. Fine. So then the Gemara says, that's all according to the first man, Damar. But then Rav Ashi comes along and says, Amar Vadai Leman Yilmaduhu. Rather, Leman Yilmadu. It has to be Leman Yilmadu. It must be understood that way. Why? Because the Isagadaitach Leman Yilmadu, if the word should be understood to mean Leman Yilmadu, that they should learn, so then, V'cheven de lo mishtai lo gamar. Since they can't listen, then they can't learn. V'cheven de lo shama lo gamar, haim Leman Yishmu Nafka. They're two words right after one after the next, which are teaching the same halacha. If a person can't hear, that means he can't learn. It's the same exact word, same exact phrase, back to back. So for that reason, says Rav Ashi, it must be Leman Yilmeduhu. Elavadai Leman Yilmeduhu, that they're not able to teach. So it says Laman Yishmu, those who can't hear, and the drash is Leman Yilmeduhu, those who can't teach. Those two individuals are Pater from the Mitzvah of Hakel. And the Mar now says, Amar Ritanchum, Cheresh Be'ozna Achas Pater Minaria. So a person who is deaf in one ear, he would also be pater from the mitzvah of Riyah. Shinemar, how do we know? Because the pasuk says, Ba'aznehem. Now this pasuk is also in the context of Hakka. It says, Ba'aznehem, that when, I'll read the whole pasuk here, it says, Bevochal Yisrael le'raos es p'nei Hashem, when Klai Yisrael comes to be seen by Hashem, Elkecha b'makom ha'sheivchar, Tikras ha'Torah, that the Melech reads the Torah, Hazos, Neged kol Yisrael ba'azneim, neged in front of all of Klai Yisrael ba'azneim in their ears. So since it says ba'azneim plural, azneim shalhem, their ears, so only a person who's able to hear with both ears is chayiv. When a person who is pater, rather who can hear with one ear, he'd be pater from Hakel and through Gzeir Shava pater from Ria as well. That's Rabbi Tanchum's drasha. So then the Gemara says, that's not true because v'hai ba'azneim b'mbaylei, the word azneim is used for a different drasha. You can't use the same word for two different drashas. So what drasha is ba'azneim used for? Mi'bayleit needed ba'azneim d'chulo Yisrael, that everyone, all members of Klai Yisrael, have to be present. So the Gemara says, that's not learned from ba'azneim. Ha'hu mi'neged kol Yisrael nafka. The pasuk says, neged kol Yisrael ba'azneim. So the word neged kol Yisrael, that means everyone has to be there. And the extra word, ba'azneim, in their ears means they have to be able to hear with both ears. So the Gemara says, no, you need both psukim ba'azneim and mineged kol Yisrael to teach us the same point. Why? E mineged kol Yisrael, had we only had the pasuk mineged kol Yisrael, I would have thought, afagav dilo shamei, even though they didn't hear, kasir achmana ba'azneim. So even though they didn't hear, it says the pasuk, as long as they're present, but let's say they put their fingers in their ears and didn't listen, so maybe there that would be still yotzei the mitzvah. Kamashon, the words ba'azneim, that they have to actually hear it. The Gemara says, v'hu d'ashamei. So the Gemara says, so that's why they have to hear, not because any person who's a cheresh or not a cheresh who can't hear, they have to physically have to be able to hear the words. That's what ba'azneim is teaching us. So the Gemara says, no, that's what we learned out from hahu mileman yishmu nafka, that they actually have to hear. So now there are really three steps here. Neged Klai Yisrael teaches us that all of Klai Yisrael have to be present. The Man Yishmu is they have to be present and they have to listen. Ba'azneim teaches us that they have to be able to listen with both ears. And that's the conclusion. These are the three levels of the drasha, that a cheresh ba'azna achas is pater min hariya. Okay, another drasha from Rabbi Tanchum. I'm a Rabbi Tanchum. Chiger beraglo achas pater min ariya. A person who has a certain limp in his leg, he's also pater from ariya. How do we know? Shenemar, because the pasuk says, this is now in the context of Shlosh Regalim, it says at the end of Parshat Mishpatim, Shlosh Regalim tachog li bashana. 3 times a year you should celebrate with me or to me. So the word is regalim, which is also known raglaim. So you have to have legs that are functioning properly to the exclusion of a chiger who's not walking regularly. So then the Gemara says, how could you use the word regalim to exclude a chigir? V'ha regalim mi bailei prat li bailei kabin? that's coming to exclude a person who's an amputee, who has a prosthetic leg. He's pater from the word regalim. So he's missing a leg. At least a chigir has both legs. He just doesn't use them properly. So the Gemara says, no, hahu mipamim nafka. The bali kabin, a person who has a prosthetic leg, he's exempt from a different pasuk. The pasuk says pamim. The pasuk says in Osa Mishpatim, it says shalosh pamim bashana, three times a year. So what's pamim versus regalim? So pamim says the Gemara that nafka detanya bepamim ein pamim ela regalim. It means regalim. V'chein hu omer. That's what the pasuk says as well. This pasuk which appears in Yeshaya, it says tarmesena regel. Tamar rogel raglei ani pame dalim. So we see that the words, the pasuk is using the word regel and pam interchangeably. So we see the word pam means regel. Vomer, and another raya is mayafo pamecha benolim bas nediv. The word pamecha is referring to nolim, that the pamecha, which is really raglecha, are placed in shoes. So pamim is really synonymous for the word regel. So the word pamim comes to exclude a Bali Kavan, who's missing a leg, and the word regalim is coming to exclude a chiger who cannot use his leg properly. So then the Gemara says, a drasha based on the pasuk we just mentioned, Darish Rava Maidichse. What does the pasuk mean when it says Mayafu Pamayach Banalim Bas Nidiv? What does the pasuk mean? So the Gemara says, we also have this in the end of Maseches Sukkah. Darish Rava, he says that Kama Noim, how beautiful is raglayim shel Yisrael, raglayim, pamecha is raglayim. How beautiful are the legs of Yisrael. Bishah she'olin the regel, bas nediv bitel she'avram, so when they go up to the regel, bas nediv bitel she'avram avinu, she'nikra nediv, that the daughter of Avram is called nediv. How do we know? She'nemar, as it says, nedivei amim nesru im el ke'avram, that the nedivei amim, those who would dedicate, the people of the am, would gather together with the God of Avram. So, Avram, okay, Yitzchak and Yaakov. It's only the God of Avram, but not the God of Yitzchak and Yaakov. Avram, Avram, who is the first of the gerim. So the Gemara explains. Look at Rashi. Rashi says here. Look, what does it mean? Shenikra nediv. Who's called the nediv? A person who dedicates something. So Rashi explains. Shenikra nediv al shem shenadvo libo lahakir boro. He was dedicated his heart, his life, to recognizing Hashem because he was a ger. It's referring to a ger here. Nidivi Amim, Rashi says, Heim Hagerim Hamisnadvim Mivein Ha'amim. They had dedicated themselves and separated themselves from the Amim, Lekabel Aleim, all mitzvahs, to take upon themselves Yiddishkeit HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and all the mitzvahs. Okay. So now the Gemara says another drasha, Amar Rav Kana Darish Rav Nasan Bar Minyumi Mishim Rabbi Tanchum, again him as well. Maidik, so what does a pasuk mean? Vaborek Ein Bo Mayim. It's the famous of Gord Drasha. We know Rashi al Torah quotes it. It's also Gemara and Shabbos in the context of Chanukah. That's where it comes up as well. So it says, what does it mean? Once we know the board's rake, of course, if it's empty, it has no mayim. There's no water in it. What's the need to mention ein bo mayim? So Gemara makes the famous Drasha. Ela mayim ein bo aval nechashim v'akravim yishbo. It was empty from water, but it wasn't empty. It had snakes and scorpions in it. Okay, the Gemara now tells us further. Tanu Rabbanan Ma'isa b'Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Rabbi Elazar ben Chasma, Shehalchu l'hakbil p'nei Rabbi Yeshua b'Pekin. One time they were going to visit the Rebbe in Pekin. So Amar Lehem, so Rabbi Yeshua says to his Talmid, Ma chiddush haya b'beis medrash? What was the chiddush hayom? What was the chiddush in today, in the beis medrash today? So he says, so first of all, Rashi points out, look at Rashi, Dibur Masal l'hakbil panav, Yom tiv haya, Shechayv Adam Lechabed is Rabbo by Kabbalas Panim. It has to be Yom Tov, because that's when there's a mitzvah of Kabbalas Panim, Mekabel Pnei Rabbo. It quotes the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, and the Gemara in Sukkah as well says this, that on Yom Tov you're supposed to go visit your Rebbe. So this was Yom Tov. So they asked him, what was the chiddush that took place in the Beis Medrash today? So Amrulo, so they said to him, Tamidecha Anu, Miyamecha Anu Shosim. We're your students. We want to drink your waters. We're not teaching you. You should teach us. So Amr Lehem, he says back to his Talmid, Afa Pikein, still nonetheless, it's impossible that there could be a day without there being a chiddush in the Beis Medrash. So please share with us what was the chiddush. Shel Shabbos shel mihaisa. Who was the Shabbos? Who? What was the week? It's how you know they took turns during weeks. So this is the Gemara Brachos, which tells us with Rabbi Gamaliel and Rabbi Yeshua and that whole big fight. They removed Rabbi Gamaliel, they put him back up, and then they started going back and forth. They took turns, Rabbi Gamaliel and Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, rather, were taking turns giving the drush or the shir every week. So they wanted to know Shabbos shel mihayisa. Whose Shabbos was it to darshan? So they said Shabbos shel Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. It was his week. So what he wanted to know the agadah. He didn't want to know the halach. He wanted to know the agadah. What was he darshaning from the pesukim? So he says, Amrullah, they said to the Rebbe, Rabbi Yeshua, but Parshas Hakel. He was learning about Parshas Hakel. So Ma Darish Baisa knew, so what was he darshaning? So he says as follows. Hakel Sa'am Ha'anoshim Va'anoshim Va'ataf. So the Pasuk says you have to gather the whole nation, the men, the women, and the children. Im Anoshim Ba'am Lomod. So I understand the men would come to learn. And Noshim Ba'os Lishma. Women are coming to listen. They're not coming to learn, they're coming to listen. And just look at Tosis for 1 second here. Tosis writes, Noshim Lishmoa. Why can't they come to learn also? So it says Tosos, Amar b'Yushalmi d'loke ben Azai d'amar chayv adam l'lamed libito Torah. According to ben Azai, that there's an obligation to teach a daughter children, to teach a daughter Torah, saying Achanami, Nashim would come to learn as well. But this Gemara is going against that, which there is no chiv for women to learn. So they're coming just to Lishma, to experience the whole event of Hakel. Ben Azai did not have kids. This is true. But Rav Soloveitchik said is that even though he didn't have kids, teaching children, teaching his Talmidim was kilu he had banim. That's the nature of the patur. The reason why a person has to get married to have children. But if you raise children and teaching them...
He's the one who says that Chayav Adam was Bital Torah, but he didn't have any daughters.
Right, but he knew Torah very well, though. Okay, so the Gemara says, so again, so Anoshim Ba'am Lomod, Noshim Ba'al Slishmoa, women come to listen, Taf Lama Ban, why do the children come? So, Bon Kidei Litain Tzchar Lemivayim, to come to bring Tzchar to the ones who are carrying. So, look at what Tosus writes here. Very short Tosus here. On the bottom, he writes, Kidei Litain Tzchar Lemivayim, Valzeh Samchu Lahavi Ketanim, basically, that's based on this, is why people rely on bringing children to shul. Now, it sounds like Al Samchu. It doesn't sound like it's Lichatchila. Apparently, people were doing this. The Tosus was very well known as trying to justify what his communities were doing, what their communities were doing in Europe. So, since they were bringing children to shul, he felt the need to bring an esmachta for it. So, he said, this must be the source how they know to bring children. Just like he brought children to Hakel, which was once every 7 years. So, they felt that was the source to bring children every single Shabbos to shul as well. Now, there's, of course, the Mishabruah quotes from the Shla, how dangerous it is bringing children to shul if they're going to be distracting, going to distract the mispalim, and they're also going to learn bad habits. You have to know the right age and the right behavior when to bring them. Now, of course, yeah.
Taf be considered below the age of
chinuch? So there's a big machlok is what exactly taf means. So the Ramban writes al Torah that's referring to yon keshadaim, children who are actually nursing still. That's very, very young. So there's I forget the other opinions, but there's a machlok is how young taf means. Now, there is a big discussion of the Schar L'Mivayehen. I'll share one with you. The Kli Yakar says, what's pshat? So why do I need extra Schar? I'm the Mivayehen. I'm the one who's bringing. Why do I need the extra Schar for? Is it just to bring the child as luggage, as weight? Why not make me schlep rocks and stones and other things like that to bring me more Schar of the Tircha? So the Kli Yakar says the whole idea of Hakel is supposed to be an element of tshuva. So the point is, you're bringing the children and saying, these taf, it's not for us, we're not deserving of the tshuva, at least for the sake of the children who are tzaddikim, who have no avers, at least for their sake, you should give us and the parents of the whole mishpacha, grant us tshuva. So it's not simply bringing them as luggage, you're bringing them to give an added tzchus to the miviyayim. That's how the Kli Yakar understands this. Okay. So now Rabbi Yeshua says back, after hearing this wonderful drasha, he says, Amr lehem, margalas tova hayisab yetchem. You had this beautiful gem in your hand. Ubikashim la'avda mimenu. You almost wanted to lose this and not share this with me. So he was a little upset that they did this. Okay, v'odar, so then furthermore, another drasha they shared with him that Rabbi Elazar ben Azari taught that day. The pasuk says, Et Hashem amarta yom, v'Hashem amircha yom. So Hashem, you said, and then Hashem, and he said to you. So who, Hashem is speaking, or is Klal Yisrael speaking to Hashem? Hayom, who's speaking to who here? So the Gemara says that Amar Lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. First HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, Atem Asusini Chativa Achaz Bolam. You had made me a special, you singled me out in this world. V'ani Asas Chema Chativa Achaz Bolam. Then I, therefore, will make you a special Shevach in this world as well. How do we find that? Atem Asusini Chativa Achaz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you, Klal Yisrael, made me special, you singled me out. Bolam, the Chziv Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. You had said in the Pesukim that I'm the one and only God. And therefore, Vani Asas Chem Chativ Achas Bolam, I'm going to also single you guys out as something special. Shenemar, the Pesuk says, Mi Kamcha Yisrael Goyachad Bar, who's like you, this great nation, Klal Yisrael. Where else do we find that these two Pesukim come together? Which
Tefillin,
exactly. That's the Tefillin of the first Parsha of Klal Yisrael versus the first Parsha of Hashem. Now, look at the top Tosis for a second here in Daf Gimel and Beis. Tosas writes, "Mikamcha Yisrael goyach barat." I'm reading b'medjus shlosha me'idim zelzeh. There are three edim who are all testifying Torah for each other. So Yisrael v'Shabbos v'Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So Yisrael v'Hakadosh Baruch Hu are testifying me'idim al Shabbos shu yom menucha Yisrael. They testify that Shabbos is a day of rest. Then menucha. Rather, Yisrael v'Shabbos are me'idim al Hakadosh Baruch Hu shu echad Hakadosh Baruch Hu echad. Hakadosh Baruch Hu v'Shabbos, and they testify al Yisrael shehem yechidim b'umos. So they are the single, the unique nation among the other umos. Val zeh says toast at the end. Al zeh samchin and lomer. That's why we say the nusach in mincha Shabbos ata echad b'mincha b'Shabbos. Ava pishenu medaber binyanei yom of the Shabbos. They don't mention of yom of the Shabbos. They don't mention at all about it. Just talks about the echad k'mo tefilas arvis v'shachris. Why don't we mention anything in mincha of Shabbos? Because that's the tefillah we're all we're talking about. The echad of Shabbos, the echad of a Klai Yisrael, and the echad of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, now the Gemara says further. Rabbi Elazar ben Azari had more drushes to teach us. Af hu pasach medarshi made a further drasha. The pasach in Kohelet says, "Divrei chachamim kadvronos hu kimasmiros nituim bali asufos nitnu me roa echad." So the words of chachamim are kadvronos. So what are they? So those are the how do they say that in English? That holds the yoke together of the ox.
Goats.
What is it called?
Goats.
Okay, goats. With the D at the end, I guess. Goats. Okay. So they're like goads, ukemasmiros, like nails, nitum, they're planted, bali asufos. So nasumira, nitum, meiro echa, they were given from one shepherd. So what's this whole drush here?
The one that goes across and they're both going through?
Yeah, that keeps the yoke together, yeah. Keeps the yoke together. No, the goad holds it together.
That's the...
No, the little, I think a little piece or something that holds the two oxen together, I think that... So anyway, so the Gemara says, so what's this drush? What's this pasuk in Kohelet telling us? So lama nimshlu divrei Torah le darvan. Why is it compared to this goad? Lomar lucha to teach you ma darvan zem chavin is a parah le talmeh, that this darvan, this goad, is able to focus the cow or the ox on the right paths through the furrows of the plowing field. Lehotzi chayim leolam, it's able to bring out chayim leolam to help plow and eventually have things grow from here. Saaf divrei Torah, so to divrei Torah mechavin es lom day, and it puts focus and gets the learners on the right path. Midarchei misa ledarchei chaim, gets them off the bad path onto the darchei of chaim. So then the Gemara says, if it's really this comparison to a darvan, ima darvan ze metaltel, af divrei Torah metaltel. So that's the case. So the darvan can be removed. So too does that mean that Torah could also be removed and it's not going to be remaining forever? So therefore it says tamalomer masmeros, that they're nails, that they remain permanent. They're permanent. Learning Torah is permanent. Has a permanent impact on a person. See, if that's the case, it's really compared to a nail. Imam masmer ze chaser v'lo yeser av divrei Torah chaser v'lo yeser. And so if it's the case with a nail, so look at Rashi. Rashi says, ma masmer ze kishin no atzin also bakosa. When you place the nail in the wall, hu mechaser, causes a loss to the wall now. You just chipped out a certain a piece of the wood, fell off now, or got deeper embedded. So yachalav ze kain tamal. So you might think the same thing. When a person in Torah, it goes into a person, it causes a loss to him. Tamalomar nituyim, it's like a plant. Manitir, like a tree, like a small tree. Manitirzu paraviraba. A tree grows and grows. Af divrei Torah paranirabin. So to Torah helps a person grow and become greater. So then the Gemara says the rest of the pasuk. What does this mean? So bali asufos. What's a bali asufos? Elu talmidei chachamim sheyoshun asufos veoskin batara. These are people who sit in gatherings together, and chabur is learning like we're learning tonight. That's what bali asufos are. And halu metamin, halu metarin. These would say tame, those would say tar, halu osin, halu matirin, halu posin, halu machshirin. So everyone's saying different things. So sheva yomer, lest you say, aldam heach, ani lama Torah meyata. How can I learn? There's so many different opinions. This is impossible. Tamalomar, kulam nitnu meiro echad. It all came from the same person, the same shepherd. It all came from Moshe Benu, which of course came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So again, nitnu meiro echad el echad. It was given from one shepherd to the next. And nitnun parnes echad. And one second here. Okay, nitnu meiro echad el echad. Nitnun parnes echad. Amr mepi adon. Kwa maisen baruch hu. Dichsiv aydab elokim. Es kol dvar me'elu. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he said all these words to you. So too, afata, ase aznecha, kaparkesis. You should also make your ear. What's that parkesis mean? How you define that?
Like a basket.
Like a basket? Yeah? Any art scholars here?
Millhopper.
Oh, what?
Millhopper.
Millhopper. Okay, we'll go with the best. A hopper. Okay, have a basket. Okay, fine.
A large funnel, which grain is channeled in a grinding area.
Okay. So I like the funnel comparison. Okay, so either way we see that this came all from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So then the Gemara is darshing further. So too you should make your ears kafar kesed, like a type of funnel, a basket, the kana lecha lev, and you should then be your lev should be kona maven lishma as divrei metamin as divrei metarin. You should therefore pay attention and be careful what you're hearing. What's tame, what's tara, as divrei olsin, as divrei matirin, as divrei polsin, as divrei machshirin. So this is how we understand this pasuk in Koheles. Again, that Torah is something that's supposed to get a person on the right path, bring him from Misa to Chaim. It's supposed to be something that's mekuyim like a masmer, and it's supposed to be something that helps you parav rava, like a netuyah, like grow, and the Balya Sufrin, that the people gathered together learning all these different opinions, all came from Roa Echad, from Kel Echad, from one Hashem, to a one shepherd, to Moshe Rabbeinu. And then the Gemara concludes the Braisa, saying, B'lashnazeh Amarlem, in this way he said to them, Rabbi Shua said to them, "Ein ador yosam reshi Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah shari b'socho." The generation, the door that we live in, is not considered an orphan because we have Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah still in our generation who darshened in such a beautiful way. We're not considered a door yosam. So this was the whole dialogue that they had teaching the Rabbi Rabbi Shua what they learned from Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah back in the Beis Knesset. So then the Gemara asks, "V'limrei b'hadei." So why didn't they answer in the first place? Why, when their Rebbe Yeshua asked them, "What did you learn today?" Why didn't they tell them what they learned? Why did they say, "We want to learn from you first?" So the Gemara said, "Mishim Ma'isa Shahaya." There's once a story which goes as follows: the Sanya Ma'isa Rebbe Yosi ben Durmaskis Shahalach Lahakbil Pnei Rebbe Eliezer Belud. He once went to visit Rebbe Lazar in Lud, and Amalo. So Rebbe Lazar said to him, "Ma Chiddush Hayah beBeis Medrash Hayom?" He asked the same question. This is apparently a common thing you would ask a person: "What do you learn today in the Beis Medrash?" So they asked him. They asked Rabbi Yossi what he learned. And Amalei, so he says, Nimnu v'gamru, they gathered together, and they had a whole vote. And they voted, Amon Moav ma'asrin ma'isr oni b'shvius. So Amon Moav, they were parts of the land right outside Eretz Yisrael, which you would take ma'isr during the Shemitah year. So what's pshat with this? What's he trying to teach us here? So look at Rashi. Rashi says, you see all the way up top here, it's around 10 narrow lines down, the words are Nimnu v'gamru. So they had a vote, and Hiskinu, the Rashi says, Shehu Yisrael Hadarin Be'ev HaYarden B'Masha Kavshu Misichon V'Og Eret Amon Moav. People living in the west, rather the eastern side of the Yarden. So those people in Amon Moav, Ma'asrin Achshav Ma'aser Ani B'Shvius. During the Shemitah year, they would still have to take Ma'aser Ani. Shehen Hayu Zorin B'Shvius K'Darminon L'Kaman Shlo Kitchu Oligole Kedushas Haaretz. So we know during the Shemitah year, everything becomes hefker. The farmers are not allowed to work the land. No one owns the land. So since everything's hefker, that means the farmer also doesn't take any chumos or maisos either, because it's not his, it's hefker. There's no chiv hafrasha. It's all free, and there's no need to be mafrish anything. However, in Avar Yarden, in Amon and Moab, they would be working the land during Shemitah. So it sounds like it's not Eretz Yisrael. So if it's not Eretz Yisrael, there's no chiv Shemitah, which would also mean there is no Chiv Meiser either. You don't take Meiser Ani in Chutz La'aretz. So there's some quasi Kedushas Aretz when it comes to Amon and Moav, where on one hand there is no Shemitah, there's no Kedushas Aretz regarding Shemitah, but there was a Chiv Medirbanam to take Meiser Ani. So this was the Chiddush that was said in the Beis Medrash this day. So then Rabbi Eliezer says to his Talmud, Amar Lo Yosi, Pashat Yadcha V'Kabe Inecha, stick out your hand and v'kibel necha pashi yadav. So he stuck out his hand, v'kibel enav, and his eyes accepted. What does that mean? And bacha Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer began to cry. V'amar, he says, Soda Hashem li'ira of v'briso lehodiyam. The secret of Hashem is to those who fear him, and the bris is for the ones who let him know. So he says, Amar lo, so leich amar lehem, go tell them, ata chushu l'minyanechem, kach mekublanim Rabbi Yochanan. What's the need for this vote you had? I have a Kabbalah, a Masorah from Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Sheshama Mirabo, Rabo Mirabo, Hil Chasalamosha Mesinai, Amon Moav Ma'asrin, Ma'asr Ani B'Shvius. So what are you creating this whole vote for? This already existed from Allah Chalamosha Mesinai, that Amon Moav has a din of being Ma'asr Ma'asr Ani during Shvius. So Rabbi Lazar was so upset that this was what was taught in the Beis Medrash that day. So now that's the reason why next time a Rebbe asks you what they learned in the Beis Medrash, they were scared to tell because they were scared their Rebbe is going to scream at them like Rebbe Eliezer did. So that's the reason why they hesitated on the previous daf. Nonetheless, Rebbe Yeshua insisted that they tell him what was taught in the Beis Medrash, but this was the Ma'isa Shehaya that got everybody scared. So then the Gemara says, so matam, what's the reason for this? That they said you keep Shvi, rather you don't keep Shvius in Amun Moav, but you would be Maser and Meiser Ani. So the Gemara explains as follows. Harbe krachim kivshu ole Mitzrayim, v'lo kivshim ole Bavel. There were many cities and places that when they came up from Mitzrayim during the first conquering of Eretz Yisrael, where they did take over the cities. And that had a din of Kedushas Aretz, Stuart, Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. But when they were sent into Golus into Bavel, and then they returned with Ezra, so they didn't conquer all those cities as well. So those cities that were not conquered in the second returning, so there were not had, did not have a din of Kedushas Aretz. So it says, Mipnesha Kedusha Rishona, Kitcha Lashaita, Velo Kitcha Lost Level. The Kedusha Rishona, the first sanctification of Eretz Yisrael, which was when Yeshua came, that was a temporary Kedusha. It lasted for several hundred years, but the moment we were exiled from the land, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it lost the Kedusha. So now, V'enichem, Kedesh Yismuchu Aleim, Ani B'Shvius. So when they returned, when Ezra returned back from Bavel, after 70 years of being in Galus, he said, let's leave those places as a chutz, as regular chutzlarts, so that during the years, the Shemitah years, the Aniim could still have who to take from during the Shemitah year. Okay, so the idea, I'm not sure, the Rashi doesn't explain what the need is for this, but seemingly during Shemitah year, even though everything's hefker, remember they weren't working the land, so things weren't growing as nicely, there wasn't as much food that being worked on. So they said, let's leave Amun and Moab outside of Eretz Yisrael, we're not going to sanctify it. This way the farmers could still work there during the Shemitah year and give Maaser Ani to the Aniim who are in need. So this was the reason for the Takana. So then the Gemara says, Tana la'achash nisyaishva daito amar hiraton shi'chazu eine yose limkomam v'chazu. So apparently at this time when he said, give me your eyes, he really meant to make, he made him blind. He made Rav Yossi blind. So after he was a little happier, Rabbi Elazar, he returned his eyesight. Okay. So then the Gemara says, whole new discussion now. Tana Rabbanim. Ezu shote. So we said in the Mishnah that a shote is pater from all the mitzvahs. Ria was one of the examples. So how do you define a shote? So the Gemara says, the Braisa says, Hayota Yechidi Belayla, a person who goes out by himself at nighttime. Halon Bebeis HaKraus, a person who sleeps overnight in a cemetery. Rashi says, Belayla in particular, during the daytime it's okay. Fine. Then, Hamakaris Ksuso, a person who tears his clothing. So the Gemara says, Itmar Rav Huna Amar Achihu Kulon Bevas Achas. You have to have all of them at the same time. The guy does one of them. Or if he does one of them, each of them, at different times, he rips his shirt one day, sleeps another night in this Beis HaKraus, and then he walks by night, a different night, that doesn't work. It has to be where you walk by yourself at night with ripped clothing, sleeping over in the cemetery, all bivas achas, according to Rav Huna. Rav Yochanan Amar, afilu b'achas man, he thinks even if you do one of these, that would qualify as being a shota. So the Gemara wants to know, now, hey Chidami, what's the case of ripping your shirt and sleeping in the Beis HaKraus and walking b'yechidi, b'layla? So the Gemara says, hey Chidami, I da'avid lehu derech shtus. If he does this b'derech shtus, so even if he does one of them, everybody would agree he's considered a shote. So if a guy is doing this for no reason, so then that's a shote. Then if he's not doing this b'derech shtus at all, he's doing this because there's a certain chachma involved. So then afilu kulanami. Then if he even is doing all three of them, if there's a certain reason for this, he would not be considered a shote. So Gemara says, no, lo, liolam the ka'avilu derech shtus. Really, he's doing each of them derech shtus. But, halon beveis kvaros. If the guy just sleeps in the beis kvaros overnight, emer kadesh tishra lav ruach tuma, hu de ka'avid. So maybe, even though he's doing derech shtus, he may be doing this for a certain reason. He wants to look at Rashi. Rashi says, shetishra lav ruach tuma, ruach shedim shiasihu lehios mechashiv. He wants to do some witchcraft. Now, even though that's usher to do, it's not called derech shtus. It's still, there's a certain chachma to it. It's an iser chachma, but it's not called derech shtus. So even though the guy is doing this b'derech shtus, he might be doing this derech shtus in order to create some chachma out of this. I think it means for no reason. I think so. Rashi doesn't tell us what it means, but I think it means for no reason. And then, so fine, that's if he just sleeps in the base cross overnight, maybe there's a certain point for this. That's why it wouldn't be considered shtus. And then if he's Yotzei Yechidi Belayla, the guy's walking by himself at nighttime, then Amor Gandripish Achde, maybe he was overtaken by some fever of some sort, so he needs to go outside and cool off, or he doesn't know what's going on. It was a temporary thing, so we can't call the guy a Shota just for that particular time of walking outside by himself. And then Hamakara Esksuso, A guy who tears his clothing, Amir, you could say, perhaps he's a Baal Machshavos, which I think means a guy who's just like one of those guys who are really out there. He's always thinking and walking, not paying attention to his clothing, tearing and ripping. He's not in this world. He's not doing Derech Shtus. He's just not paying attention. So each... What?
Spaced out.
That spaced out guy. So either way, any of these three individuals, if they're doing just one of them, so then that could be understood as there's a certain reason for each of them. But once Kevin Dav Dinu Lechulu, once he's doing all three of them, Havalu Kimisha Nagach Shur Chamor V'Gamal V'Nase Muar Lechol. As if it was like a shore who gored first a shore, then it gored a donkey, then it gored a camel, three different cases. So then we say, this guy, this shore, he must be a shore muad. He does all these different gorings, so to this person, even though he did three different acts, you put them all together, he's considered a shota. Okay, let's just get to the two dots, I guess. Gemara says now, Amar Rapapa, Ishmi Leila Ravuna, Hadasaniv. Ravuna heard the following brisa, which is what? Ezu shota, Zah ma'aved komasha nosin lo. You hand the person something and he loses everything, he can't hold on to anything, he loses everything. That's a definition of shota. So then Rav Papa says, had Rav Huna known this brisa, have a halder, but he would have retracted on his statement and would have used this definition provided by the brisa. So then the Gemara says, Ibailu, what's Rav Papa telling us? Ki hava hadarbei mi mekara kesusa hu dava hadarbei, the dami laha? Would he have only retracted from the definition of kara kesuso, and he would replace that with a person who loses all his items? O dilma mikula hava hadarbei, or perhaps he would have been retracted from all three examples and only would have used this example of hama'aved komashi nosin lo. Gemara ends with the teku, we don't know. Okay, we'll stop here and pick up tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem.